But I do want to read the first 27 verses of Psalm 18, and then we will be looking this evening particularly at the first three verses. Let us hear the word of God. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. The cords of death encompassed me, the torrents of destruction assailed me, the cords of Sheol entangled me, the snares of death confronted me. In my distress I called upon the Lord. To my God I cried for help. From his neighbor he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. Then the earth reeled and rocked. The foundations also of the mountains trembled and quaked, because he was angry. Smoke went up from his nostrils, and devouring fire from his mouth. Glowing coals flamed forth from him, and he bowed the heavens and came down. Thick darkness was under his feet. He rode on a cherub and flew. He came swiftly on the wings of the wind. He made darkness his covering, his canopy around him, thick clouds dark with water. Out of the brightness before him, hailstones and coals of fire broke through his clouds. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the Most High uttered his voice, hailstones and coals of fire, and he sent out his arrows and scattered them. He flashed forth lightnings and routed them. Then the channels of the sea were seen, and the foundations of the world were laid bare at your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of your nostrils. He sent from on high, he took me, he drew me out of many waters, he rescued me from my strong enemy and from those who hated me, for they were too mighty for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. The Lord dealt with me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands. He rewarded me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his rules were before me, and his statutes I did not put away from me. I was blameless before him, and I kept myself from my guilt. So the Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his sight. With the merciful you show yourself merciful. With the blameless man you show yourself blameless. With the purified you show yourself pure. With the crooked you make yourself seem torturous. For you save a humble people, but the haughty eyes you bring down. Thus far, the reading, God's most holy word. You know, quite often when we take on a certain endeavor in life, we might stop, first of all, and consider the possibility of success. If you're going to do something, and whatever that endeavor might be, and you are aware that a particular set of gifts and abilities and tools that you may have, that you have those, then you can feel fairly confident that you are well qualified and you are confident about being successful. But when you think about life itself, when you face the future, at whatever age, what possibility is there for any of us to be confident about that endeavor? It is certainly easy to look at this world and see the things that are happening, particularly in our own nation, and become fairly unsure. There's no basis for confidence, it would appear. It is certainly easy to look at this world and not be confident. Think about simply being a Christian and all that that entails. And as it relates to the various aspects of life, perhaps more specifically, those of you who are parents and raising children, preparing them for life, can you be confident about that task and about their future? We want to explore this concern a bit this evening by looking at how David, towards the end of his life, reflected upon his life in this psalm. Psalm 18 is essentially David reflecting about his life and his relationship to God in that life. And as I said, you may want to read the entire psalm, but we're going to look at the first three verses. Keep in mind that this is not just a story or even a biography about an important king who lived many, many years ago, and that you might be able to learn some lessons from him. This is a specific message to you about how you can face life and be confident. Now, David begins by noting that he owed everything to the God of grace. He came from nothing. As you well know, King Saul, with all of his power that he had, sought to kill David. David had to hide out in caves, and yet he became king of Israel. And even while king, his own son attempted to take away the kingdom from him, and to the point in which David for a time had to flee the palace. And yet by the end of his life, David was the king of a nation whose enemies had been subdued, whose borders had been expanded farther than any other time in the history of Israel. And for all of this, David gives credit to God. He says in verse 47 and 48, "The God who gave me vengeance and subdued peoples under me, who delivered me from my enemies, yes, you exalted me above those who rose against me. You rescued me from the man of violence." And yet more than that, David remembers that it is God who has given him salvation. Verse 50. "Great salvation he brings to his king and shows steadfast love to his anointed, to David and his offspring forever." This is simply, when you read the first three verses, "I love you, O Lord, my strength, the Lord is my rock, my fortress," etc. This is a confession. David confesses the name of the Lord. "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer." It means to acknowledge and to give honor to God for his grace. It's not a momentary high that David finds himself in at a particular moment in life in which perhaps something happened in which he was rescued from a real dangerous situation and he came out of it. And as you and I would do when we know that there is some real tense situation and then things go really well and we rejoice, there's a perfectly good place for that. But that's not what this is. This is when everything is in place. When David is established, when he is powerful, when he is rich, when he is settled, and all of the enemies are put down, he doesn't, as we often do, then forget God. But he remembers God, and he calls upon God in praise. And there's something of a rehearsal of David's life in this psalm. But in speaking of his troubles with his enemies, there is a continuous reference to his own weakness. We know of David's recognition of his own sin, his own sinful nature, as he expressed it in Psalm 51, following his sin with Bathsheba, when he recognized in sin I was conceived. So what about all of this? Is this just an interesting story? What you need to see as we look at David is what it really means. It's a description, if you will, here in this psalm of what it means to be a child of God and how you really understand that relationship. The way David confesses his love for God, the way David acknowledges his dependence upon God and his trust is simply what it means to be a child of God, to belong to God. God claims his own. And this is the reality, as we read of it in this psalm. So the reflection on life begins then with the understanding that there is a need for salvation. That's where David starts. When David says, "The Lord is the horn of my salvation," he's not just talking about being rescued, for example, from a particular battle or from the sword of Saul, but he's talking about his stand before God. You know, the word love in verse 1, "I love you, O Lord, my strength." The word love is not the usual Hebrew word for love, but it is one that particularly emphasizes the intimate love for God that is the result of God's working in the heart. It is a love that can only be there when God has worked in someone's heart, in your heart. It is in God and in God alone that there is salvation. David understood that without God he was lost, having been conceived and born in iniquity, as he confesses in Psalm 51. He looked to God alone and not to himself for a covering from sin. Yet he indicates God's response to his righteousness. Listen again to verse 20 and 20 through 24. "The Lord dealt with me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands. He rewarded me, for I have kept the ways of the Lord." But notice what he says later. It sounds like David is saying, "I was rewarded because I earned something from God. It was based on my righteous living that God rewarded me." But listen to what he says in verse 28. "For it is you who light my lamp. The Lord, my God, lightens my darkness." The righteousness which David speaks about in those verses is the righteousness and the blamelessness and the living according to God's direction is all what God, in looking forward from an Old Testament perspective to Christ and now looking back to Christ, what Christ has done for us. Our righteousness, the righteousness of David, the righteousness by which anyone can stand before God, is the righteousness of Christ, which has been given to us. He says in verse 30 that God is the shield. You know, a shield is what you stand behind for protection, to protect you from the attacks of the enemies. The protection of the man of God is the shield of God's perfect righteousness. And thus to respond in faith before God is to enjoy God's favor. We read in verse 32, "The God who equipped me with strength and made my way blameless. It is God, David says, made my way blameless. To stand righteous before God is by the blamelessness of God. David takes no credit for himself. He confesses his sin and understands that without the grace of God, he would be in a hopeless situation as when he was fleeing from Saul. In looking at this psalm, we see a lifelong picture of need. The reliance of the child of God on God for salvation does not stop at the moment that he confesses Jesus as Savior. As David, you face dangers and pitfalls at every moment and at every point in your life. And as believers, the constant temptation is to say, I can do this. I can overcome this particular difficulty. I can avoid this temptation. I don't have to worry about those kinds of things. I'm better than that. David the king, with all of the resources at his disposal, there are very interesting chapters in the history of David, as we find it recorded in the Old Testament, of the mighty men of David. David had powerful warriors at his disposal. David says that he looked to God for his strength. Particularly, he looked to God as his Savior to continue to be the shield of righteousness. You know, one of the things that we know so well about David is that he did fall into great sin. From time to time, even after he had been established as a man of God, sometimes people have a notion that once you become a believer, you don't sin any longer. Yes, the child of God hates sin. The child of God turns away from sin. The child of God seeks and struggles daily to put sin behind. But anyone who believes, even as a Christian, that you have done away with sin is but a liar if he thinks that he is free from sin. The child of God knows his weakness, and thus he turns to God for full dependence upon God and righteousness. And so the first thing we want to notice this evening then is this. In dealing with confidence, how can you be confident about the future and about your life? Is that we begin with, as David did, understanding a relationship with God. One in which we look to God for salvation. Now, we know that there are many dangerous situations. There were many dangerous situations in David's life. It's not just a reference to some great rescue, but it is a picture of life itself. And so we need to understand, as a child of God, not only does David acknowledge that it is God who has saved him, it is the God who continues to be his rock and his salvation, his fortress from day to day throughout his life. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul writes in his letter to the Romans in chapter 8, beginning with verse 38 and 39, says, "For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." You know, life can be a pretty scary proposition. Every now and then we are reminded in fairly drastic ways. Just last night there were tornadoes in Oklahoma. People lost their lives. And so here's the question. Do you rely upon yourself for assurance and certainty, or do you rely on God? The benefits of what we call covenant theology, That is to say that our relationship with God is one in which God has made a covenant. That is, He has sworn an oath upon Himself that He will be your God, the God of your children, and that He will provide you, not as a result whether you have earned them or not, but God has simply made covenant and has said that He will be a God to His people and He will provide the blessings. The sovereign God has brought you into that covenant relationship. He has promised to be God to you. You trust in that promise. That relationship's a very special one. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it is stated in this way. But you are a chosen race, verses 9 and 10. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness and to His marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. It is because of God's covenant blessings, God's promise that He has made to you as a covenant God, in spite of your shortcomings, that you can say with David of old, and you can say it of yourself and your children and your community, your church, that God is indeed your fortress and your rock. That is, God has promised to put His protecting hand upon His people. You know, it might have been one thing for David to have looked to God for confidence concerning life while he was fleeing from Saul, because God had already promised at some point prior to that that David would be king. But to be the established king with all of the power of all of the enemies put down, to be the established king, to still rely on God, that's the picture of faith. The most complete and yet simple statement apart from Scripture of what it means to live to belong to God, to look to Him for the fortress behind which you can live your life no matter what the world throws, is Heidelberg Catechism number 1. What is your only comfort in life and in death? With body and soul, both in life and death, I belong my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. As a child of God, you can have that confidence, that comfort, not just in that you can claim it perhaps for your children, but that you can be assured and claim that promise for yourself, and you can tell others. So, with the establishment of the relationship with God, that relationship, there is also the certainty that comes with it. The assurance that you have and that God has promised His protecting hand upon you. You know, it is the acknowledgement of the God of salvation that leads to confidence in everyday life. God continues to be the fortress, and David continues to place his trust in his covenant God. What we see here in this response by David, as he reflects upon the work of God in his life, in a statement of faith, a trust, and a response to God. Again, verse 3, he said, I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. It's interesting to note that just because David trusted God to protect him from all his enemies does not mean that he let his guard down. As I mentioned earlier, David surrounded himself with mighty men, with mighty warriors. He maintained an army ready to do battle. I'm reminded of Paul's letter to the Ephesians in the fourth chapter, beginning in verse 12 and following, in which he encourages the church at Ephesus to learn the word of God, to build each other up in the Lord, in the faith, to grow in knowledge and truth, so that by that growth they would not be unstable and open to be tossed about by every wind of doctrine, but that they would be firmly planted in the truth of God. Paul reminded Timothy to hold fast what he had learned as a child at the feet of his mother and grandmother. We claim the promise to us that we belong to him and that he will put his protecting hand on us. But that means that you will make sure that you and your family are planted firmly in the truth. That you will not just say, I love the Lord, and not have a clue what that means. Listen again to verses 35 and following in this psalm. He says, you have given me the shield of your salvation, and your right hand supported me, and your gentleness made me great. You gave a wide place for my steps under me, and my feet did not slip. I pursued my enemies and overtook them, and did not turn back till they were consumed. I thrust them through so that they were not able to rise. They fell under my feet. For you equipped me with strength for the battle. You made those who rise against me sink under me. God gives you the strength. That's how he carries out his promise. Not that you can just be a couch potato and not do anything and wait for God to do it for you. Yes, God is the covenant promise. He is your rock and shield. But God gives you the strength. You need to take up the sword. You need to do the battle. Now, there are a lot of things that in your everyday life, as individuals, as members of the church, as parents, members of the community, whatever, from which there are many concerns about our children, the world in which they are growing up in, physical health, education, generally having a good life, but it all begins with your relationship with God. Peter confessed Christ, and Christ said, upon that confession, his kingdom will be built. The church is the ground and the pillar of truth. David tells you today that it is in God, in his word, and in the regular fellowship and relationship that you have with God, that you can have confidence about life. Again, in verse 3, we read, God is the God of salvation, the God of protection, and the God that you respond to. Now, this is, of course, a different understanding of life and success than the ordinary view of life that we might think about and that certainly the world thinks about. Being confident about life does not necessarily mean that nothing will ever go wrong. Even sometimes terribly wrong. Tomorrow we remember those for whose lives did not go very well. Many of them at a very young age who gave their life and service to their country. This does not mean that God forgot about them. The confidence in life we speak of here is the full life created by God, which is ultimately in eternity. That is the confidence that we are speaking about, and in that confidence you can be, in fact, you must be absolutely certain. So finally, we see confidence, but one that is there because God is the protection. You know, people find unbelievable ways to deal with life. Whether it is simply a trust in human nature or in your own ability. But I say to you that there is nothing else to trust in than God. Unless God is your rock, your fortress, and your deliverer, you have no place to take refuge. There's no other shield. There's no other rock or refuge that will work. But if you call upon the Lord, then He is your salvation, and He is your confidence. To say that is not to hide behind, but to take the hope that God provides by grace and to face the world. We do not run off into some corner and hide from things because there's all kinds of evil in the world. We trust in the confidence of God. To know that comfort of Heidelberg Catechism 1 speaks of, to have confidence in this God is to also say, I will prepare myself, my family, I will work within my church to follow God as He directs. As David acknowledged, this is what God equipped him. But David took up the sword. You need to take up the sword and be sure that God is your rock of refuge. And with that sword and with that shield, you can be absolutely certain. Let us pray. Our God and Father, what a comfort that we have. What an assurance in that You, as our covenant God, even as David experienced, that You are the God who has given to us salvation. You have called us out of darkness. You have called us into Your marvelous light. You have granted unto us the certain confidence, the righteousness which is Christ has become our righteousness. The life that we live before You is a life in the ultimate sense of our relationship with God, a life that will indeed be successful because You are our God and we are Your people. And we pray this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.